Matthew 27, follow along on the monitors, follow along on your bulletin. It doesn't really matter. We are returning to the cross this morning. As Christians, as believers, we don't need to stray too far from the cross. Can I get a witness? We always need to keep our eyes on that precious sacrifice that Jesus Christ made for us. We're going back to the cross, and Jesus cried out again with a loud voice and yielded up his spirit. And behold, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom, and the earth shook and the rocks were split. Dear gracious Heavenly Father, we love you. We praise you, Lord. Thank you for your will being done in this service, Lord. Thank you that we're not here just to fill in some religious requirement we may have given ourselves or that our parents gave us, but we are here to grow in relationship with you, Lord. And for whatever reason we find ourselves here in this sanctuary, Lord, that you will meet with us, that you will change us, and that you will bring us into a deeper, more intimate walk with you. Thank you that the temptations of this world will fall away from our eyes. Thank you, Father God, for just doing amazing things in our hearts, Lord. Thank you for healing us. Thank you for restoration. Thank you for peace, strength, and joy, and your will being done in this service, and your anointing, Lord. We love you and we praise you. In Jesus' wonderful, precious name we pray. And everybody in the church said, amen. And Jesus cried out again with a loud voice and yielded up his spirit. And behold, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom, and the earth shook and the rocks were split. So this is the moment that Jesus Christ gave up his spirit. This is the moment that he passes away. This is the moment that he goes to the Father. And something very, very interesting happens. There's a lot of crazy things that are happening right around the death of Jesus Christ on that day. We have an eclipse. We have this massive earthquake. And these things are documented in history, not just by the religious, but in secular history. These things are documented. A lot of crazy things happened that day. And one of the things, the main thing that we want to focus on this morning is the veil being split in two. Okay, so to understand the veil, we got to talk a little bit about Jewish worship. We got to talk a little bit about the temple. So in Jerusalem was the temple, and this was the center of Hebrew worship. This is where they would go and do their sacrifices. They had to be there. They had to make the Jewish worshipers had to make pilgrimages there. Now, in the temple, there was the most holy place, or the Holy of Holies. This is where God's presence dwelled. His earthly presence dwelled in the temple, in the Holy of Holies. Is everybody with me so far? Okay. Is everybody with me so far? Okay, and then there is that veil or a curtain. This curtain or this veil was around 60 feet tall, around 30 feet wide, and Jewish tradition would say it's about 4 inches thick. I can't tell you for sure if it was 4 inches thick or not, but either way, this was a massive, massive curtain that separated the most holy place from the holy place, or where God's presence was and where sinful man was allowed to be. Does that make sense this morning? Okay, now once a year, the high priest could go into the most holy place or the Holy of Holies and make atonement for the sins of God's people. Okay, this is called the Day of Atonement. Now, okay, so the high priest was allowed to enter once a year. And he didn't also just make sacrifices for the sins of God's people, but he also had to make a sacrifice for himself because he was a human. He was flawed, okay? And he had to follow God's protocol and procedure, or he could actually die in the Holy of Holies. Tradition would also record that, meaning it's not in the Bible, but Jewish history states that as the high priest would enter into the Holy of Holies, that he would have a rope or a cord tied around his leg in case he was to get in there and not take his not take his duty seriously, or not have confessed his sins appropriately, he could actually die. And then that rope was there for him to be pulled out because no one else was allowed to enter into that most holy place. And this is Bible that they had bells on their uniform. And so it's thought that if the guy in the most holy place heard the bells stop or the absence of the sound of the bells in the Holy of Holies, he might think, oh my goodness gracious, the high priest has just died in the Lord's presence for not keeping that appropriate protocol. So anyways, that's a little bit of history about the veil and the temple worship in the most holy place or the Holy of Holies. Okay, now, when Jesus Christ breathes his last breath, this amazing thing happens. The veil is ripped in two. Okay, now before we go any deeper talking about that veil being ripped in two, we got to understand what that veil represents. Okay, it is basically saying that humanity is unfit to be in God's presence. Humanity cannot be in God's presence without somebody making a way for us. Okay, matter of fact, I think Isaiah says it just perfectly in Isaiah 59, 1 and 2. So check this out. See, humanity has a sin problem. God is holy, 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 okay, and he cannot have anything to do with sin. That's a problem because we're all sinful people. That's a huge problem. But see, God loved us so much, and please, please listen to what I'm saying right now. Okay, God loves you so much. The creator of the universe loves you so much that he made a way. He made a way for our sins to be forgiven so we can spend eternity with him, so we can grow in relationship with him through all eternity. He wants to wipe every tear away from our eyes. Can I get a witness this morning? That's the big thing, okay? God loves you. God loves you, and that means something. I know that a lot of people are going through stuff. Okay, I get it. I understand it. I might not know what you're going through, but I know that everybody in here is going through something, and a lot of people are going through some very severe stuff. Okay, and he's like, well, I don't really care about some history lesson about a curtain in the temple. I'm hurting, man. My life's messed up right now. Okay, well, this means something. But let me just cut to the chase, okay? Let me just give you the real deal, Holyfield. You are loved by God. You are loved by God. He loves you so much. How much does he love you? He made a way for you to be forgiven of your sins. He made a way for me to be forgiven of my sins. God is good. That's all I'm trying to say. Give the Lord some praise. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Isaiah 59, 1 and 2. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, or his ear dull that it cannot hear. Let's read that again. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, or his ear dull that it cannot hear. God doesn't have the problem, in other words. He has the ability to do what we need him to do. Okay, verse 2, here's the real deal. But your iniquities, my iniquities, your iniquities, humanity's sins, okay? But your iniquities have made a separation between you and your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you so that he does not hear. So there's that separation. There's that veil keeping sinful man from entering into God's presence. Does that make sense this morning? Okay, Romans 3, verse 23. Look at this. You probably already know this verse, but check it out. For all have sinned. Who sinned? All of us, every single one of us, Sister Claudia even, we've all broken God's law. I know, it's hard. I know it. Believe me, the woman's a saint. She's a certified Christian saint. But she ain't perfect. I love you, Mama. Look. Romans 3, 23. For all have sinned, every single one of us, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, our God's wonderful, beautiful, glorious standard. That standard to be in his presence is perfection. You guys understand that? There's a standard for us to enter into his presence, and that's perfection, and that ain't us. Okay, there's the veil that separates us from God's presence. Let's go to the next slide. Okay, and Jesus cried out again with a loud voice and yielded up his spirit. And behold, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom, and the earth shook and the rocks were split. Now, this curtain, this is important, that this veil was ripped from top to bottom, okay? There's a reason why the Gospels point this out, that it just wasn't torn, okay? It was torn from top to bottom. So what in the world does that mean? Well, first of all, it means that this isn't part of this earthquake that was happening at the same time. This earthquake was massive and it was splitting rocks, okay? But it didn't split that veil. It didn't start from the bottom. It didn't start from the bottom or 4 feet high or 5.5. This wasn't something that man did or man could do. Okay, but it was from the top to the bottom. This is a picture of God's hands reaching down and just ripping it apart and saying, my people can now be in my presence. An amazing thing has just taken place. He's not just our God, but he is now our Father. That was an amazing statement to be made to the Hebrew people, for them to understand that God, who is holy, 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 and no one is like him, says that he is now not just your God, not just your creator, not just your savior, but I'm your Father. I'm your heavenly Father. And he just made a way. Okay, look at John 14 and verse 6. The veil being ripped in two is a picture of Jesus Christ. The veil being ripped in two is a picture of what Jesus Christ did for us on the cross. Amen. Can I get a witness? He is the only one that could have done this. John 14 and verse 6. Jesus said to him, this is good. Jesus said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. No one can enter into God's presence unless they go through Jesus Christ. Okay, that is the only way to get to God's presence, is through Jesus Christ. And he made a way for sinful man to be healed. He made a way for us to be able to have eternal life and enter into his presence and to have communion with the creator of the universe. What an amazing thing that me, as messed up as I am, and the mind battles that I've went through and the things that I've done in the past, but because I have accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, and Jesus knows every single foul and miserable thing I've ever done or thought about, but because I've accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, I can now enter into the presence of the most holy place, and into the presence of our Lord, our God, our Creator. Amen. What a wonderful and amazing thing, a wonderful privilege that we have. Can I get a witness? Jesus said to him, I am the way. The only way to the Father is through him. I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. I have access to God the Father. Look at Hebrews 10, 19 and 20. God is good. Amen. Therefore, brothers, if you want to kind of dive into the deep end of the pool a little bit, if you want to get a better picture of the veil, the temple worship, and just God's grace, go into the book of Hebrews. Take your time and read it. I think the Apostle Paul wrote it. That's neither here nor there. We don't actually know who wrote the book of Hebrews, but it is amazing, okay? Anyways, moving forward. Hebrews 10, 19. Therefore, brothers, talking to Christian folks, okay, brothers. Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence, isn't that wonderful? I have confidence that I can enter into God's presence anytime I want to. Well, you know, sometimes when I pray, I don't feel God's presence. That doesn't mean he's not there. That does not mean he's not there. And that doesn't mean that you should give up or stop trying. You know what I mean? Okay, he's there, so don't give up. Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the holy places, see, we can go beyond that veil because that veil has been ripped from top to bottom. God the Father has given us access to his presence anytime we want, through the man, through the God-man, Jesus Christ, to enter the holy places by the blood of Jesus. See, it's that blood, it's that precious blood that has washed away my sins. See, it's like this, okay? On the cross of Christ, when Jesus Christ was on that cross, my sins, your sins, humanity's sins, was placed on Jesus Christ. And his righteousness was given to us. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that amazing? Think about what I just said. Okay, because, you know, this is a no-brainer, man. We've all fallen short. The best of us in here are sinners. The very best of us. Okay, but because of that cross, because of that cross, Jesus Christ, his blood washed away my sins. I'm a forgiven person. And now I can go before the Father with confidence. I don't need anybody to hold my hand and take me there. All I need is Jesus. All I need is Jesus, okay? Nobody has to guide me there. I just say, dear gracious Heavenly Father, I have direct access to God the Father because of what Jesus Christ did for me. Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence, this is a big thing that the veil was ripped, man. This is a huge thing. Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the holy places by the blood of Jesus, it's only by his blood, by the new, because the old covenant has just officially been done away with, by the new and living way. Okay, Jesus Christ died, but he ain't dead no more. Jesus Christ is dead. Scratch that. Don't record that. I didn't mean that. Jesus Christ died, but he ain't dead no more. Okay, what kind of church is this? Get the kids. Load up. I heard them. Load up. All God's people said, load up. By the new and living way that he opened for us through the curtain, that is through his flesh. See, there was that huge price that was paid at Calvary. Okay, it wasn't just God saying, okay, I want to bridge this gap between my creation. I want to be able to have a connection with my sinful creation. He didn't just say it and snap his fingers, but he's a just God, a righteous God. So his justice had to be satisfied, okay? And that was only through Jesus Christ. That was through the shedding of his blood that I am now able to come before the Father. Let's go to the next slide. Thank you, Jesus. So what we got going on here is Jesus is our high priest. He is our high priest, okay? So back in the day, there was the high priest that was a sinful man like me and you. And he had to do sacrifices to atone for his own sins, his family's sins. He had to go into the Holy of Holies and make atonement for the sins of the people. But now that veil has been ripped. And Jesus Christ is my high priest. Jesus Christ grants me access to God the Father. Amen. Can I get a witness? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Tell the truth, shame the devil, right? But he's not just our high priest, all right? He is the sacrifice. He's not just the high priest, but he is the sacrifice. Okay, the sacrifice is what gives me access to God the Father. Amen. It's like, well, okay, as the veil is torn, okay, as it's ripped from top to bottom, there is now officially no more need for animal sacrifices. No more need for animal sacrifices. Can I get a witness this morning? See, what happened is Jesus was that sacrifice. Jesus was that sacrifice. John 1:29. The next day, he saw Jesus coming toward him. This is John the Baptist. The next day, he saw, I love this verse so much. The next day, he saw Jesus coming toward him and said, behold, the Lamb of God. He's talking about Jesus Christ. John the Baptist is doing his thing, baptizing the folks, preparing the way for the Messiah. And guess what? Here he comes. Here comes the Messiah. And John says, man, this is what I was born for. This is what it's all about. He said, behold. He said, don't look at me, man. Look at him. Okay? It's not about me. Look at him. He must increase. I must decrease. He says, behold the Lamb of God. The next day he saw Jesus coming toward him and said, behold the Lamb of God. No more need for animal sacrifices. Okay? Jesus just ripped that veil in half. He was the Lamb. Jesus coming toward him said, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Okay, That was all the sacrifice we ever needed right there. That was enough to satisfy God's judgment. Amen. My sin placed on his back, his righteousness given to me. Can I get a witness? No need for animal sacrifices. They still did it for a while longer. No need for temple worship. That did not have to happen for another day. It didn't have to happen anymore after Jesus Christ ripped that veil in half. John 4:21. Jesus talking to the Samaritan woman. Jesus is talking to the Samaritan lady, and let me say it like this. Samaritan lady says, "Well, you Jews say we have to worship in the temple in Jerusalem. You Jews worship in Jerusalem. And us Samaritans, this mountain is where we worship. This is a sacred place to us." And so she's asking Jesus these religious questions. And this is what Jesus says right here. John 4, verse 21. Jesus said to her, "Woman, believe me." Jesus said to her, "Woman, believe me. The hour is coming." And it just happened when that veil was ripped. Jesus said to her, "Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem will you worship the Father." So God is not saying, Jesus is not saying to the Samaritan woman that you cannot worship in Jerusalem. He's not saying you cannot worship at that temple. He's not saying you can't worship on this mountain. What he's saying is it's not a geographical thing. It's not a geographical thing anymore where you must make your pilgrimages to the temple and do your sacrifices. It's not a geographic thing, but it's a sincerity thing. It's where is your heart at? You know, we can worship God in this building, and man, I love coming together with you guys. I mean, I really, really, really love when we get to come together. It really blesses me. I love to be with my church family. But you know what? We need to have church or be in God's presence Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, not really Wednesday, but no, you know what I'm saying. What's wrong with him? We need to spend time with God every single day, every day. You know what I mean? So anyways, Jesus said to her, "Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem will you worship the Father." Hebrews 8:13. I'm telling you, do your little research or just dig into Hebrews. It is good stuff. Hebrews 8:13. And speaking of a new covenant, because that's what we live in. We are new covenant believers, okay? Jesus Christ fulfilled the law. He fulfilled the law. He did what he came to this earth to do, okay? So we don't have to go through a priest. We don't have to go through a high priest. We don't have to do sacrifices, okay? We got direct access to God the Father through what Jesus Christ did. And speaking of a new covenant, he makes the first one obsolete. He fulfilled it. He made the first one obsolete. And what is becoming obsolete and growing old is ready to vanish away. So why don't people worship in the temple no more? Why don't Hebrews worship in the temple anymore? Well, a big reason is it ain't there no more. As a matter of fact, Jesus Christ prophesied, he told his disciples, one day this massive, amazing structure, this humongous thing, it will not be there anymore. Not one stone will be left on top of another. He prophesied about that. Then in 70 AD, the Romans had finally had enough, and they destroyed that temple. Okay, so God made sure, okay? Okay. We don't have to do these animal sacrifices. Jesus Christ was the Lamb. I don't want people focusing on this building. I want them focusing on my Son. Can I get a witness? Thank you, Jesus. Give the Lord some praise. Seriously. It's all about Jesus. He's my high priest. He is my sacrifice. Amen. That's a good thing. That's a wonderful thing. Hebrews 4:15-16. Now check this out. Talking about that high priest. "For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses." I just want to stop here for one tiny second. Look at what it says. We don't have a high priest. "For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses." look, Jesus Christ, listen to me. This might be what you really need, okay? It means an awful lot to me. Jesus Christ, the God-man, the second man of the Trinity, God in human flesh, sympathizes with what you're going through. He knows what you're going through. He knows what you're going through. He cares about what you're going through. So if you honestly say, or you honestly feel this way, nobody cares about what I'm going through. Maybe, but I hope that's not the case. But if that is the case, or if you just feel like that, there's a God in heaven. There's Jesus Christ sitting at the right hand of the Father who cares about what you're going through. And he knows how you feel. And he loves you. Amen? Now, that's a big thing. That's a big thing right there. We all, you know, it's very easy for us to say, like, well, my situation is so unique. Nobody really knows or can identify with what I'm going through. Well, there's a God in heaven sitting at the right hand of the Father, Jesus Christ. He knows what you're going through, and he cares about you. And he says, hang on to my promises and walk with me, and I'll get you through this. Whatever you're going through, whatever that might be. Amen. And a big thing, I'm telling you, worship him where you're at. Worship him where you're at. Okay, get your eyes off of yourself. Well, that's kind of rude. No, man, because I know what it's like. I know what it's like, man. Get my eyes off of myself and look at God's greatness. I'm not saying you don't have real problems. I know you do. I know you got real, real problems, okay? But I'm saying let's get our eyes off of ourselves and let's magnify God together. Let's see him for his greatness. And no matter what we're going through, when it's stacked up next to the creator of the universe, the heavens are his throne, the earth is his footstool, okay? And he ripped that veil in half so we can have direct access to him through our prayers, through Jesus Christ. He cares about us and he loves us and he doesn't want us to be miserable, okay? Matter of fact, one of the reasons why he doesn't want us to be miserable is there's a world that has fallen apart. There's a world that's falling apart. There's a world full of fearful people. The world's nutty. Can I get a witness? Tell the truth, shame the devil. Man, it's downtown Nutcase Village. You know, we live in a messed up place, man. But God loves these people. And don't get me wrong, I'm not saying that I'm better than anybody. I'm not saying I look down on anybody, because without God's grace, that is me. You know what I mean? I'm just saying that there's people that are scared and they are fearful about what's going on, you know, in the world, in their community, all this stuff. But God says, my people, they don't have to be fearful. They don't have to be fearful. Trust in me. My people don't have to be a mess. Trust in me. God needs us to be sober, to be vigilant, you know what I mean? Not be drunk on the cares and the fears of this world so we can be there for this lost and dying world, so we can point them to the cross and say, well, yeah, I know it's crazy. I know it's nutty. I know it's wild. I know it's goofy, but I'm trusted in the Most High God. Matter of fact, here's a whole book of his promises. And see, the amazing thing about this book is he makes these really bold promises, these really big promises, and he keeps every single one of them. So when he says that he'll never leave me or forsake me, okay, I can sleep fine at night knowing that he's never going to leave me or forsake me. Can I get a witness? Give the Lord some praise. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses. He knows our frame, man. He knows how easy it is for us to give into temptation. That's not an excuse for us to give into temptation, but he understands us. Don't say he doesn't understand. This is what he's saying. He completely understands us. Amen. Matter of fact, he knows that we're so easy to give into temptation that he made a way for us to be forgiven. He took the penalty for us. All right, whatever. Tell the truth, shame the devil. But one who in every respect, every single respect, has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. Verse 16, let us then with confidence. See, here's the beautiful thing about being a blood-bought Christian. Here's the thing about being a Christian is I can go before the Father. And he is not just Jesus' father, but he is my father. I've been adopted into that family. What an amazing, beautiful thing. He handpicked Brother Scott. He handpicked me. He handpicked Brother Earl. That's about it. That joke, boom, that joke kills. Boom, shabam. I could do that every week. Whatever. Yeah, tell the truth, Shannon. No, man, it's for all of us. You know what I mean? So I can confidently go before the Father. Okay? I'm just going to give you a real silly example. Do a lot of things around town, pretty busy fella, whatever. My phone rings, and it rings a lot. Okay, there's a lot of times it'll ring, and if I'm busy doing something, talking with somebody else, I'll be like, okay, I'll call this individual back as soon as I get freed up from here. And I will return the call. But if there's certain people that call, if they call, man, I'll be like, hold on for a second, I got to take this call. You know what I mean? And these people in my life, they should have confidence knowing that if they call me, I'm going to answer. I'm talking about my better half. I'm talking about my children. I'm talking about, okay, I got to take this call. So here's God who says, okay, you can be confident. You can come before me anytime, day or night. You're not going to be disturbing me. You're not going to aggravate me. You ever ask somebody a question, you can tell you're kind of aggravating them, you know, because they snap at you and say, I hate you. Yeah. Ew. I'm sorry, baby. That never happened. Lord Jesus. Verse 16. Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace. The throne of grace. With confidence. That we may receive mercy. Oh man, this is pretty right here. Check it out. That we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. It says you can boldly, confidently go before the Father and there's that mercy. Okay, what is mercy? Mercy is me not getting what I deserve. Mercy is me not getting the bad things that I deserve. Grace is me getting the good things that I don't deserve. That's my Heavenly Father. It says, you need something, I'm here. Run to me. Don't give up. Don't give up. Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace that we may receive mercy. I sure love mercy in my life. That we may receive mercy and find grace. And I love grace in my life. Find grace to help in time of need. Are you in a time of need? Don't give up. Keep reaching out to the Father. Okay, you got access to the throne room of heaven. Okay? He loves you. He cares about what you're going through. Amen. Look at Romans 5. Romans 5 and verse 1. You will notice that this is not on your bulletin. This is a late addition. Late addition, but Brother Rick did put it on the slide. Romans 5, 1. Talking about this wonderful thing. Just kind of putting it in a nutshell. This wonderful thing about the veil being ripped from top to bottom, being ripped in two pieces. And now Jesus Christ, he is my high priest. He is my access to God the Father. He is my sacrifice. He paid for my sins on that cross so I can be forgiven. Romans 5 and verse 1, therefore, since we have been justified by faith, because it's nothing you did, it's nothing we can do, but through faith, and you do have enough faith, through faith, I accept what Jesus Christ did on the cross. I say, Jesus, I'm a sinner, and I repent of my sins. I turn from my sins. I'm sorry for my sins, and I ask you to be the Lord of my life. I ask you to forgive me of my sins. Therefore, since we have been justified, I have access to God the Father. Because remember, there's that problem. There's that separation between God and sinful man, but Jesus just ripped that in half. And all I got to do is believe it, receive it, and walk in it. Hallelujah. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God. We have peace with God. What kind of peace are we talking about here? Peace of mind that I don't have to worry about what's going to happen tomorrow? Yeah, that's in there. But what it's mainly talking about is I am no longer an enemy of the Creator. I'm no longer God's enemy. Okay, either you're with them or you're without. Either you're with them. How can I? What's the right way to say that? Somebody help me out. If you're not with them, you're against them. That'll work. Okay. See, okay. But now, through faith, boom, I'm in that family. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God. We're not his enemy anymore. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. That's a wonderful blessing right there. There is no better blessing than that, because now I'm at peace with my Creator. I'm no longer at war with my Creator because I've accepted what Jesus Christ did for me at the cross. My sins are forgiven. I have access to God the Father. He says in Matthew 6:33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you as well. Man, if I'm about God's business, he's going to be about my business. If I'm trying to be obedient to him, he's going to make sure I have what I need. He's going to take care of me, okay? Take it one day at a time, trust in God, and let's rejoice in the fact that my sins are forgiven. My sins are forgiven. Our sins are forgiven. There's no bigger blessing than that, all right? There's no bigger blessing in the world than knowing that Jesus Christ paid for my sins and I've accepted that gift. Thank you, Father God. We love you. We praise you, Lord. Thank you that we're going to grow in relationship with one another. We're going to grow in relationship with you, Lord, and your will is going to be done in our lives. Thank you for revival coming to our hearts and our homes. And in this area, Lord, let us do what you've called us to do. We love you. We praise you. You are amazing. Thank you so much for sending your son to pay for our sins. We love you and praise you. In Jesus' wonderful, precious name we pray. Amen.